Hi, everybody, and welcome to another 10K Saturday. This week, Allison speaks with Jeremy Douglas. He's a musician, father, and husband who definitely has the current state of the world on his mind, but has the love of his family in his heart. He also tells us what kind of trip only lets you turn right. Intrigued? I know I am. I'll see you there.
And now it's 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to 10K Saturday. This is our weekly bonus episode where we interview someone super interesting. And don't forget that we have our weekly travel episodes on Wednesday. That's imaginary travel because we're broke and because you don't want the COVID right now. So who's really traveling? So let's get back to our guest. I am so excited to have one of my friends, and that is Jeremy Douglas is in the Zoom house, or the FaceTime house, I gotta say.
We're in house FaceTime right now.
FaceTiming. And that's crazy because this is, normally I do face-to-face interviews, so right. This whole world has changed now. Yeah. So Jeremy, tell everyone hi in our little 10K community. Tell them about yourself, what you do, what you used to do before the virus.
Yeah. My name's Jeremy Douglas. I used to be a music director, a musician, a piano player. I guess I'm still a piano player, but my job used to be in front of human beings and perform. Yeah. And it looks like that's not going to be anybody's job for a while. But
I know.
So right now, I don't really have a job title. Right now, I'm dad.
Yeah, you're dad.
I'm dad and head of anxiety department. I am the CEO of all of the worry and despair in this house. Oh. So nobody else has to do it.
Oh, you guys, Jeremy is one of the most talented musicians I have ever met. We have worked together on numerous projects, and we were literally in the middle of a run of a show that you guys have heard me talk about called Shout, and they did their final performance without even knowing it.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy how things have flip-flopped in the last few weeks. And I know this episode is actually going to release in a couple weeks, so, but I'm sure that we're still going to be in it, so it's still going to be relevant.
Yep.
How have you been affected, Jeremy? I mean, I know like the obvious reasons, no work. What else is going on?
To be honest, so, you know, the work and I never thought I'd be saying this, but the work and the money are kind of the least of my concerns right now. My wife is also a musician, so we're both out of work. She has breast cancer and has a mastectomy scheduled for the 26th, which is 4 days from now.
Yeah.
That date is the source of all of my anxiety right now. I know that luckily we live in a time where a mastectomy is an outpatient procedure.
Right.
It's not even a hospital admission. She'll go through a completely different entrance. She will not be, she'll not be in the entrance where all people who are sick or believe they are sick are going to be flocking. Disease, it puts pressure on emergency rooms and not operating rooms. So completely separate. That gives me a little bit of comfort. What was your question again?
No, you answered it. You answered it. Just how what you're kind of going through, what you're dealing with. Everyone's been affected differently, but I think that, like you said, like the stress level is high. And you know, I know that you're kind of taking that on, and to even be dealing with this on top of that, and to have kids who are bored at home, like it's a lot, and it's an emotional time for everybody. And
my son is 10. And he's right on, I think 10 is like right on that edge where there's still part of him that deserves to be oblivious to all that's happening. But there's also another, he's also just, he's coming online, in his mind. Yeah. And so there's also a part of him that deserves to have a picture of what's happening painted for him. He deserves to know. He deserves to be oblivious. He deserves to know, and I'm struggling with that balance. The other day, I was walking through my garage and I stubbed my pinky toe on a music stand that was like upside down, and it just sheared off a whole bit of skin on my pinky toe.
Ooh.
And this was like 4 days ago. So I'm bleeding all over the floor, and it didn't really hurt. It didn't really bother me, but you know, I had a realization that I need to teach my son how to clean and dress a wound. Like,
yeah,
I think that's a valuable skill right now, because who knows how long this can go on where we can't really count on emergency services right now. They're going to be taxed. So I took this as an opportunity to teach him how to swab, you know, with alcohol, how to clean it, how to dress it. And he thought it was neat and geeky and fun. And I walked away from that and shut the door in my bedroom and sobbed for a minute. That you know, about the gravity of the necessity of that teaching moment, you know, it affected me. It affected me a lot. So yeah, that's where we're at.
Dude, I'm like, I'm not going to get through this interview. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm so emotional.
Me too. It's right under the surface at all things. Was playing catch with my kids yesterday. I have a 3-year-old and a 10-year-old, and we were in the backyard, and I was playing two different games of catch at the same time with two kids, with two different balls. I just, you know, was crying again, just because I was so happy. And my son was like, "Are you crying?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but this is the good one. This is the good crying."
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I know we take a lot of those little moments for granted until we're stuck in our homes with our kids, and then we're like, "Oh, I've missed out on a lot of things." But then at the same time, there's such a bigger picture that's happening. So I send all the good vibes to you this week and your wife, and I know all of our listeners do as well. Thank you. Posted. Let us know how that all goes, because now it's going to be in my mind and in my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we'll get through this.
I think you're right.
Come out.
I think that we're going to come out with you know, I don't intend to get political at all here, but if I were to make one political statement, I think we're going to come out of this with a realization about really how irrelevant the federal government is to our daily lives. Everybody gets so wrapped up in this presidential race. And now, honestly, you know, I feel like the president is irrelevant at this point. Whether or not he can or will help is not what I'm addressing. It's just the relevant thing that we're going to realize when we're done with this is mayors and city council.
Yeah.
And to some extent, governors. Yes, governors. But I think for a long time, you know, maybe governors is as high as we're going to look.
Right.
You know, we're going to stop looking at who's the boss of all the governors and senators. We're going to start looking, you know, governors is going to be our highest office that is relevant to our daily lives.
Right.
But more so mayors and city council. And if anything positive comes out of this, it'll be this overwhelming, I have to believe this, an overwhelming sense of a reborn community, people banding together with neighbors and coworkers. These are our people. You know, whoever happens to be the president is not really going to help us at the street level. You know, so, you know, what I see, if like, and I think we're going to have a new appreciation for the word, like the economy. Like I've reimagined what that word means to me. It's always been sort of like, I don't really understand what people mean when they say the economy is doing really well. What does that really mean? And I think it's going to become apparent what it really means. The economy is the word for the supply chain. goods and services that yes. we trade for. So when we talk about the economy now, I think we should refer to it as the supply chain. And that's our grocery stores, that's our power and our running water and our internet and our medical services. That is the relevant economy. So yeah. I think what we're going to see is that on a local level, on a micro mm-hmm. level, neighbors helping yeah. neighbors. Like, you know, if we go yeah. too long, God forbid, if we go too long with empty shelves in the grocery stores, I firmly believe that the vegans are going to come and teach us how to grow gardens in our front yards. And we'll have community yeah. gardens all the way down the street. You know,
yeah.
We need to stop looking at the highest office for our guidance. And we need to start looking at our city council and our mayors and our neighbors in our yes. communities. That's where our strength is going to come from. So mm-hmm. when we come out of this, it'll be with this super strong sense of community and and an end to handshaking for all time.
Yeah. Elbow bumps all around.
We're done shaking hands forever.
I know.
In this new economy, this new supply chain of everybody pulling their weight, I don't know how much value a piano player is going to be. So I'm waiting
I don't know.
I'm waiting for what my new job is going to be, you know? And I want it to be something like, I'm released from quarantine and I do hospital administration, or I do something for the relief effort, stocking yeah. grocery shelves, delivering food to people's homes. That's what our new jobs are going to be, I think. And I'm ready for that job.
Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
I had a friend who listens to this podcast who just yesterday, she's in entertainment, and so she's not working right now, and she applied at Publix just to be yeah. work behind the deli. So she applied yeah. and they literally called her the very next day, and she went in for the yeah. interview, and she's waiting to hear, but they said we'll know in, 48 hours. So
they're hiring. Yeah, Publix, everybody, Aldi, Whole Foods, everybody's Trader Joe's, everybody's hiring. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to ask you our first question, and that is, Jeremy Douglas, what is your yes. current obsession?
Well, how many active cases there are in my city? That is my okay. current obsession.
Yeah. Do you have an app that kind of tells you, or you just...
Yeah, I do. And hold on, let me tell you what it's called. It's called COVID-19 Tracker. There's dozens of these apps on the App Store, but this one has what looks like a plus sign made out of blue and green kind of hollow plus sign. It's called COVID-19 okay. Tracker, and I use that to track how many cases there are in Pinellas County, actually. And from that, I'm doing math in my head and getting an idea about how much pressure there's going to be on the hospitals at city yes. level for the 26th, right. which is the date of my wife's surgery. So after we get through the 26th and we get that, I think that my anxiety level is going to go down, and I'm going to stop following that like it's a horse race. And
okay,
I'm just going to relax a little bit. But right now, yeah, that's my yeah. obsession, is the pressure on the hospital that my wife needs to go to.
Yes, I totally understand yeah. that. My obsession has been also like just news feeds and Facebook, and just kind of seeing, yeah. okay, when, what's shut down today? Is there a lockdown? What's happening in the world? It's definitely been obsessed about it. Okay, yeah. So what is on your wish list?
That my wife can go to get this surgery and come home without any, without having picked it up. Yeah. That she can recover in peace and harmony in this house, and yeah. that I'm able, healthy enough, and able enough to provide that.
Yeah. Well, I yeah. wish that for you too.
Thank you.
And please always reach out and let us know, and our community know, if we can help you in any way. I know it's hard because we can't all physically be there, but if yeah. it's dropping something off or sending a note of encouragement to her or whatever.
Yeah. We did I think a couple of days after all this went down, and I came home from that show. We did that show on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I don't know the date of that. It was, what was that last date of that show? I think it was.
I think it was like the 18th maybe, or something. Oh, no, is that long ago? Oh, you're right. It was the 12th.
It was the 12th. That was the last show that we played. We have been on lockdown since that day. We haven't left the house. So my other current obsession, I think, is monitoring all of our symptoms in the house, because we, the 12th, and now today is the 22nd. So that's 10 days. If we can get to the 26th, if we can get to the 26th without symptoms, that's 14 days. That's the that's the outlier of the incubation period. We are good. And so that is my other obsession.
Yep.
Monitoring my symptoms and my kids' symptoms and my wife's symptoms, and our goal of the 26th is actually like, that's the day where it all converges.
You
know, that's the day that we can be pretty confident that we haven't got it. And, and so, So, what was I going to say? I was leading to somewhere with that. What was your question?
The well, second we were talking question? About your wish list, which was just your wife.
It's to get to that day. It's to get to that day and have this lockdown have been effective.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've loved watching all of your posts on Facebook as well, just because you're right. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, every time I look at your posts, I'm like, yes. Like,
yeah, there's,
guys, if we all just listen to Jeremy.
There was one recent one I posted that's been that's being picked up and shared by dozens of people I don't know, and I hope it takes off. Which is this message that you know, what we're going to see in the next 10 days to 2 weeks is not part of the course correction.
Right.
It was it's baked in. So it's this image of a faucet like connected to a hose. Pouring water into a funnel, and then water pouring out the other side of the funnel. The faucet is new cases of COVID-19, right? And the hose is all of those cases asymptomatic in incubation. And the water coming out of the hose is people going into the hospital. The funnel is the hospital capacity. And the water coming out the other end of the funnel is recovered people. So just like that, you turn on you turn off the faucet on a long hose, you know, it's going to take a long time for the water to come to clear out of that hose. So we turn off the faucet by everybody going into their homes. It's still going to take 2 weeks for all that water to clear out of that hose. And we're and even that water coming out of that hose is going to overwhelm the hospitals. So the latest post that I've got that's being picked up and shared is just sort of this message of the numbers that we're going to see in the next 2 weeks are going to be dismaying, but not but don't get discouraged, because the dividends of our isolation will not pay off for 2 to 3 weeks from now. So while we're doing it, it's going to be really easy to believe that this is ineffective, because it's still going to grow. It's still going to rise. It's kind of like, it's like making fudge, you know, you got, when you're making fudge, and I've made fudge. I love fudge. You're watching that temperature. You've got that melting, that boiling point or whatever they call it. There's the point where you're aiming to get to an exact temperature, right?
Okay.
And if you keep it on the burner up until the moment that it gets to that temperature and you take it off, the temperature is still going to rise.
Right.
That momentum of rise is baked into the process. You've got to take that fudge off the burner before it gets to that temperature that you need it to, so it can rise to that and then fall back down.
Yeah.
So this is where we're at. We're at the moment where there's so much momentum behind all the cases that even though I came in, let's say everybody went in lockdown exactly 2 weeks ago, we're still going to see this rise in cases.
Right.
And
it makes so much sense.
So the message is, yes, we'll be dismayed, but do not be discouraged.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. All right. So if you had an extra $10,000 to spend right now, I know it's such a silly question right now, especially, but if you had it and you had to spend it, what would you do with it?
I would buy masks for my local hospital.
Yeah.
I'd buy $10,000 worth of personal protective gear for the people that are working right now in these hospitals.
Yeah.
We built up police and firefighters and first responders at 9/11 to hero status, and rightly so. And our new heroes now are doctors and nurses.
Yeah.
They're putting themselves at such enormous risk. They are,
I know.
The doctors and nurses now are the firefighters and police officers who ran into the World Trade Center.
I know.
So, yeah, if I had $10,000, it would be personal protective equipment.
Ugh, I love that. It's literally on the forefront of everyone's mind. So we are just, like you said, obsessed with it. Like, it's all we think about. And I think it's going to be like that for a while.
Yeah. And I think that even after this is rolled over us, we're all going to have PTSD at some varying degree of PTSD for this. every gathering and get together of our friends and family for a long time will be support group meetings. You know, sharing our stories and crying on each other's shoulders. There's going to be so much luggage to unpack when this is done.
Yeah, I know. But that's why I think you're right, that the community is what is going to be most helpful for us. And the fact that globally we went through something.
Yeah.
So it's not even like, you know, when a tornado hits or a hurricane or an earthquake, it's very regionally and, you know, we sympathize, but we don't really know. But I think this is something that on a global level, we're all feeling it. So
this is Katrina at every town.
Yeah.
In the world happening at the same time.
Yeah.
This is like Katrina. Happening everywhere. The thing that gives me hope, and I'm sorry if I'm jumping ahead, if you have a question later on about what gives you hope, I'll skip to that. But through all this despair and anxiety, I keep thinking of my great grandparents who sent my grandparents to war.
Yeah.
You know, and certainly, you know, the world over, people sending their children into war, certainly must have felt that it was the end of all things, and it wasn't. And they not only, you know, those who lived through it went on with their lives, and it became a piece of their life and not the defining moment of their life. And so that's the hope that I have, that if my great grandparents could do this and send their children, like, imagine sending your children to Italy right now to go fight this fight. If they could do that without what you and I are doing right now, this face-to-face talk through long distance, the sharing of these feelings, then we can do this. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes, 100%.
So anyway, your next question.
I think I know the answer to this next question already, because I literally can like feel your spirit through this phone. But if you had $10,000 to give away right now, where would you give it?
Oh, I'd give it to whoever's making personal protective equipment. it's just all on that. We need to protect our doctors and our nurses right now the best we can. They're literally saving civilization right now. Literally saving the world.
Yep, you're exactly right. I hope that anyone who does have extra money can donate what they can. I'm going to look up some sort of organization that is helping provide for them, and we'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes here for your episode, so that people can click right there and give whatever that they can.
But you know, if we're just like, you know, pure wishful thinking, that if I could like imagine a universe where this isn't happening and I live in that universe, if I had that $10,000, I'd probably take my family and show them the world.
Yeah.
I'd travel and go show them how other people live, how other people love each other. And in different languages and different cultures. I think that's what I would do. Four round the world tickets.
Yep.
You know, those kind of plane tickets that you could get where you have like, you've got an entire year and you can travel in one direction, like east, I think. You just keep going east.
Oh, that's cool.
Until you get back.
Yeah.
Have you seen those? They're like these round the world plane tickets where Yeah, you can book your flight.
That's so cool.
However you want, but you got to use them all in succession. You can't travel back and forth and back and forth. You got to keep going in the same direction until you get back to where you came from. And you have, I think, maybe 9 months or a year to use all of those plane tickets. So, you know, you book your first flight and you travel, say, you know, you're in LA and you travel east and you go to Japan. You can stay in Japan as long as you want. But you know, you got to take your next flight within the year.
That is so cool.
United, like, you know, these airlines that are all networked with the, you know, with each other. That's how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom did one.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That would be cool.
That's what I would do.
I love that. And then my last question, which is hope filled, but we call it something else. And we say today. What's your happy?
My 3-year-old daughter, who is who just lives in a world where this doesn't exist right
now. I
know. And so I just keep looking to her, you know, her joy, and she's got her whole family at home. She could not be happier right now.
I know.
This is the best thing that's ever happened to her. You know, we're all home all day long, and we just play and run and laugh and hide and seek. And that's where my happy is.
I love that.
My 10-year-old, but you know, he's often in his room watching YouTube videos or playing Minecraft or something. He's my happy too. I don't mean to exclude him.
Yeah, but it's different. The younger they are, they see the world through a different set of eyes.
And
if we can kind of pick up on that.
Yeah, her perspective is so small. It's literally just this house. She has no concept right now of anything that's happening anywhere outside this house and our front and backyard. That's where my happy is. If I could just become that small again, just in my perspective.
I love that. I'm
aiming for that every day.
I love that.
I think that's what I mean, you know, and that touches back on this earlier point about communities, our perspectives on this, as we realize the irrelevance of like the federal government right now, our perspectives on this are just going to get smaller and smaller and smaller till they're down to the micro community level, you know, literally your neighbors on your street. That's going to become our world. And I look forward to it, you know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine those first moments when we're allowed to be together again, all of us?
I know.
You know?
I know.
Like, can you imagine the first show back, whatever show it is, whether you're in the audience or on the stage, whatever the first gathering of people where we're all, the vibration in that room is going to be a revelation for everybody. Yeah.
I know.
It makes me weepy
just thinking about it. Like, I can picture it. I can imagine it.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's a show like, even if it's Shout, even if Shout is my first show back after all of this, it will still be, there'll be so much love in that stupid show. It'll be amazing.
I know. Jeremy, thank you so much for spending some time with me today.
Thank you.
You're awesome. Your family's awesome. I'm sending you every good vibe that I have. I know our listeners are sending you guys all the good vibes.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're such a smart and compassionate guy, and I'm really lucky to know you.
Thank you.
So thank you for being here. And guys, we are going to have all of Jeremy's information and all the information about everything he's mentioned in this podcast on our $10K Dollar Day Saturday page on our website. So check that out. We'll also have his social media handles. So if you guys want to follow Jeremy on any social media platforms that he wants to share, then we'll put those out there as well. And once we're back from this, if you need a musician, Jeremy's your guy.
I know how to play music.
There you go.
Oh wait, we got a video coming out really soon. We've been putting together a video. It's me and some music friends of mine and Colleen Cherry doing When Will My Life Begin from Tangled. You know that song?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course. Like a self-isolation anthem that you know, the whole list of all the things that she does by herself in her tower.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing, do you know the name of the kingdom, the Rapunzel's
yes,
kingdom?
Yes, I Googled it and I was like, this is a conspiracy.
Like, I believe that Disney owns the rights to the pandemic right now.
I was like, to the world? Yeah, it's crazy. It's so insane.
Look for that. That video will be out soon. We're editing it right now. So
that's awesome. Where are you going to be releasing it?
Facebook.
Okay.
Probably, and perfect. Also probably the Florida Bee Orchestra page too.
And that's a Facebook page that you run, right?
Yeah, it'll be my personal Facebook page, which I like. Normally, all my posts have been private, or normally in my life, all my posts are private, just to friends only. But lately, if I have something that I think is worthy of you know, if I think it's a good perspective that I want to share, I make it public. So,
yeah.
So we'll be making those videos public.
Well, and our listeners can absolutely follow the Florida Bee Orchestra, right? On Facebook. Yeah. That would be a great place for you guys to find out, you know, all the important things Jeremy wants to share and all of the cool Tangled renditions that are going to come out in the future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here and stay safe, stay sane.
All right. Good talking to you.
All right. You too.
That was 10K Saturday with Allison and Lulu. And don't forget, with friends like us, who needs amenities?